This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how crediting experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. On the show today, we have Equifax's very own Joel Rickman. He is here talking about our recent grads or recent graduates underestimated during the loan process. A really, really creative conversation here with Joel Rickman. And I hope you guys check it out because there's lots of takeaways in this one. Austin here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Equifax's very own Joel Rickman. Joel, how are you, sir? Good to see you.
Doing fantastic today, Mark. How are you?
Good, good. I'm doing great, and better now that you are here because we're talking about a very timely topic about recent grads. They're being underestimated during the loan process. And I think we've all been, those of us who have been graduates of college have maybe have experienced this. So this is kind of a timely thing. And graduation season's almost upon us as well. So the timing of this couldn't be any better. But I want to start out with Joel, say, what's happening in the industry today? How can the risk-averse credit union continue to grow its portfolio, even when borrowers who may be score averse, a lot of those being those graduates that are coming out of school right now?
Well, Michael, I think you hit it right on the nail. The big challenge for graduates, if their parents didn't help set them up or they didn't, you know, by chance get a credit card when they were on campus and start to build a little bit of a credit file, many of them are graduating, making great incomes in today's employment environment, but not with the credit report that would help them. And you know, part of what I've learned here recently, I remember when I got out of school and the first thing I wanted to do after I actually got that second paycheck was go buy a new car and gladly paid 13 or 14% interest on that car so I could have that new car, only to learn a lot more about finance and go try to refinance it at 6 or 7% 1 year later. But I see the same thing going on, you know, with my children. I've got a Gen Zer that that graduates in 3 weeks, and it's interesting to see of how financial institutions are, and I can see some specific differences in regards to how they're approaching these wonderful long-time potential clients. And hopefully we can talk a little bit about how they're qualifying them in to becoming part of the, you know, being a member with the organization or getting that business relationship.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick, because I think that's, again, super timely because, yeah, like you said, a lot of graduates are graduating with what they call a thin credit file. I mean, and a lot of graduates have super thin credit files for sure. So yeah, can you address that real quick, Hillary, here? And we'll talk about kind of alternative data sets that can help credit unions say yes as well. So share with me some tips and stuff here real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think most people understand at a high level how credit works. And it's, how much credit do you have available? How much shopping have you done? How long have you had credit? How many negative remarks do you have? And obviously the shorter experience you have with credit cards or maybe an auto loan or something like that, the less elements in a credit report. So there's less to go into that score. So it's much more impacting if your only credit history is a 2-year credit card with a $3,000 credit limit. That's not very exciting to make a good decision off of helping somebody either get into their first home or to get that auto loan. Mm-hmm. Some of the alternative data that's available out there, though, that organizations can really use to target in for new members or new customers has to do with where did they graduate? And, the National Student Clearinghouse is one of the best repositories of data out there, and it's very predictable. If you look through, the average comp sci kids graduating with $71,000 of income. 71,000 is the average starting price. Engineers are in the mid 60s, and that's average across the country, but it also varies per institution. So even if I don't have a credit score, mm-hmm. if I were to pull the National Student Clearinghouse and know that I graduated with a comp sci as a lender, as a credit union, I could confidently say this person's probably going to be making $60,000, $70,000 out of the gate. Now, that's at the end of a graduation. In addition to that, we also offer another service called the Work Number, which you might be familiar with. But after they get that first paycheck, that'll also be available, and you can validate that income. And so by looking with your credit and risk officers a little differently, you can say, all right, we have, but we know this individual is 21, 22, 23 years old. Maybe we want to pull education report, or we want to pull an employment report, because it's a lifetime opportunity. And if I'm a credit officer, I want to be looking at those individuals in that age bracket of 21 to 24, because if I can get confident in making a relationship with them, they could be a member for life.
Yep. Yeah. And the next thing you know, they're coming to you for a mortgage loan. So yeah. So, and which is, absolutely, which even deepens that relationship even much, much more so. So can you explain how this alternative data can help credit unions offer the right loan terms for their members as well? Cause that's very important as well.
Well, and it really comes down to some simple equations. And just as you would look at a credit report, how they might size risk and price based on a credit score, you can do a similar type of activity with a debt to income score. So you could look at debt to income. And the neat thing is, if they don't have a credit file, Michael, it's there's a good chance they don't have a lot of debt racked up. Now, they may have student loans, and yeah, those might be on the report, but there's a good chance they don't have a lot of debt racked up. So you could look at their income holistically and size a credit line, whether it be a credit card or whether it be an auto loan, or maybe it's a personal loan to get them to furnish that first apartment as they start work. But you'd be able to make an intelligent decision, and we can help organizations with that, but by just having income that they're making and looking at some of the average expenses in certain geography areas, you could figure out a debt to income that's going to work and get that new person into your credit union as a member with that first real line of credit.
Yeah, I love looking at this. This is looking at it from a whole new lens, you know, so as opposed to letting somebody get established and getting that credit established. Because I mean, I remember when I was like, gosh, when I came out of college, I was already on my second or maybe third car loan. So, because my dad set me up really nicely in high school. Okay, I'll co-sign with you on this first auto loan here for you in high school. And then the second one I got on my own in college. And I think right before I graduated, I got another one. So my credit file was a little bit thicker than thin, or thicker than most coming out of school. So set myself up nicely there. So there's always those ways as well, right?
Absolutely. And so, Mike, that's a great example. I love that story. And I'll tell you, we went through the same thing with my friend, my oldest, when he was becoming a senior in high school. We knew he was going to college. I said, hey, you need a credit card. You need to start establishing that credit.
Yep.
He got declined. He applied for two without talking to me. I would have coached him a little better. But he went straight out on the internet and applied and got declined for both of them. And so then we reworked it. And I actually put him on my credit cards. I didn't intentionally do it, but I put him on the credit card the longest. So, you know, it was strange that my son, when we pulled a credit report on him, had 27 years of credit experience, but was only 20 years old.
What?
Yes, absolutely. So that's one of those dynamics as a credit and risk officer. Even if you do have a little bit of a file, you may want to add in some of the alternative income, such as the education or the employment, because sometimes the file doesn't always make 100% sense in situations like that.
Yeah, I got to get creative here for sure. So let's talk about people's lives changing quickly, and so has the labor market, as we've seen a lot in the last, you know, 12 to 18 months. So how can credit unions get the most up to date information about a member and make an educational or make a very well educated lending decision here?
Well, so a number of things there. Of course, if the credit union wins me as a depositor in checking and savings, that's always traditionally been the first step into the organization and get it going. There are some ways that can try to do that. You know, we see a number of financial institutions, and I kind of hinted on this earlier, that are using very specific data, whether it be student loan information or age and demographic information, but are doing specific marketing to win that 21, 22, 23-year-old to become a depository, either with checking or savings or a combination of those two. That obviously gives them their stream of seeing the cash flow directly. If they don't have that and they're trying to win them in the first time, they can pull a work number report to see if that individual is working. And one of the nice things, it'll also show you maybe that individual worked through college. You can get an idea of their work ethic. Did they work part-time and help pay for part of that college? Yeah. And that's why they have less debt or no debt or not. Or you can pull the National Student Clearinghouse information and understand that what their degree was, when they graduated, and what they're going to do. What we have found on the marketing side that's kind of become a battle zone for winning that first customer is coming into interest rates actually in the savings space. That's been a hot topic, especially with depositories and some of the excitement in the industry here of late with some banks and stability on deposits. And we're seeing organizations that really want to go after those new grads and get them to be a customer for life. And the data is out there to make that available. We also see them taking that and saying, you know, one of the things that's interesting, we see existing organizations saying, do we really know our customer? So Joel's had a car with our credit union for a number of years and has a checking account. Are we really seeing the full Joel? And so when they do an annual review, they may pull additional information and say, wow, this individual is actually making three times more than what we say, see go through our checking account with him. Maybe we should talk about how we could be a better partner with him. Yeah. Can we entice them to use some of our investment services, or can we entice this individual to use us more from a savings perspective if we offer a interim rate or a better rate on a CD? And it's understanding your customer that will allow you to target, you know, the potential long-term new graduate that you typically don't know as much about, but it also can help you grow an existing customer by understanding that aspect of their income or their education.
Yeah, I think you just answered my next or my, kind of my wrap-up question here is like the significance of all of this for a credit union. And obviously, we know we went over it a couple of times that you get a lifetime member, and that equals, you know, deepening that relationship with another auto loan, investments, mortgage, you know, a possible mortgage down the road, and you know, all this type of thing. Are there any other benefits here to this stuff that that off the top of your head?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I want to take a step back and talk about a few things about the Gen population. And, you know, we have new names for every generation now. But some of the things about Gen Z that are interesting is that they're actually seeing the behaviors maybe don't track with what we might think happens, that they're kind of lackluster and jumping from one financial institution to the other. Actually, keep seeing up. There tends to be a stronger loyalty from a Gen Z to what their parents do than the millennial generation. Huh. So if their parents banked at the credit union down the street, there's a good chance that that Gen Z individual is going to open accounts there or potentially be a customer there. However, they still want to be attracted. So they do their homework. It's so easy to get access to information that they'll understand what a good interest rate might be or what a good savings rate might be, that marketing directly to them, if you understand where they're at, whether they're that 21, 23 year old, being able to market directly to them based on anything that you can learn about them. And then when you qualify them for a product or you entice them in with a new interest rate or whatever, having that information is going to help you close that individual. And from what we also are learning is that they do tend to be more loyal, where millennials sort of from a behavior perspective do seem to move around a bit more in regards to their service providers in the financial space. And they're all very likely to try a fintechy type of company if they're shopping. But there's no reason that when it comes down to the decision process, credit unions or small regional banks or any of those organizations have the access to the data to entice or attract the customer as well as anyone. And I really think that's where the differentiation can become. Mm-hmm. With some of the changes that have been going on in the last few weeks around stability or questions about stability, the other thing is it's interesting to me the quality of question coming from some of the Gen Z population about where is it safe to put our bank or put our money? Is it a bank? Yeah. Is it a credit union? Is it a giant bank or is it a regional bank? And so I do believe that understanding that they want to know that, they want to have that comfort level of security coming out of school because they're educated and they're learning more of these things, it positions the credit unions to perfect their message and to perfect lending to people that maybe don't have that full credit file.
Yeah, which they've been shouting from the mountaintops ever since the banking situation has occurred, you know, a few weeks ago for sure. The other thing I'm looking at Joel, is that a big issue in the credit union industry right now is getting that membership younger. And so I think this is a big incentive for them to go after those college grads and to get a younger membership coming in to kind of have like this member succession plan, if you will. So yeah, so this is a, I think this is would be like on the front burner for a credit union right now, especially to get their membership younger.
Yeah, and just the model of the credit union and you know, as well as I in regards to the financial structure and some of the benefits of a community credit union, that messaging resonates with this crowd. And so making sure that, that we're taking the time to get that message out, get it out to the right folks and the right demographics is important. But I, you know, there's a lot of opportunity out there to be benefited by doing so.
Indeed. All righty, sir. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work, Joel. Thank you so much for your time today. Anything else to add to wrap up here? Any final thoughts on this?
No, I greatly appreciate your time as well. You know, the thing about financial services is it's easy for us to get into we've always done it this way type of mentality.
No doubt.
One of the hardest things that I experience when we work with customers or with executives is, you know, find a way to try new things because it will open new doors for you. And there's so many ways to test it. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways to get access to more information about people. Don't hesitate to try to do that. Don't boil the ocean. Start with a unique population and go after it. And I really do believe that as you're looking to build out your businesses, it's how do you appeal to someone in that age bracket? And it's down to understanding what they need and understanding where they're coming from is the quickest way to build that online trust or that trust to get them to be a member.
Yep. Yeah. Well said, sir. All righty, Joel, thank you so much again for your valuable insights and expertise. We appreciate it. And look forward to having you back on soon as well. We can talk about, other graduate stuff.
We can talk about how to get those student loans if you went through a private channel, right?
That's right. We can do that too. All righty, man. All right, Joel, thanks again. Right. Appreciate the time as always. And keep up the good work there at Equifax. All righty.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mike.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results.